Tonight's shir is Yevamos, Tes Vav. I'd like to dedicate the learning tonight should be Ili Nishmas from Machababas Harav Chaim Yitzchak, Olav Shalom. She, Suri Granik, who was a pillar of our community, Highland Park Edison, and Vav Elul is her yortzeit. So this should be a special learning for Suri. We are holding at the bottom of Yudalma Beis Tashma. Okay, what was the discussion? We were going back and forth about this machlokes between the Beis Hillel and the Beis Shammai. So now we're going to try to make a pshara, a compromise, to work out something where we could get everybody. Again, no one's going to. Whenever you compromise, no one's going to be entirely happy, but because you don't get your way. But there'll be enough of a working compromise, and that's what the one's going to discuss now with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zuri. Here we go. Tashma, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zuri, Ben Yochanan ben Nuri. Hich halacha zo rovachas v'Yisrael. How are we going to do this? We have this whole problem with tzaros. In other words, either if you're doing the yibum where you're not supposed to, so nasa gedivrei beis shamai, if we're going to follow like beis shamai and allow the tzara to do the yibum, havlad mamzer gedivrei beis hillel. So according to the opinion of beis hillel, what comes out is that they're a mamzer because they had. He had bia with an erva, ishesach. So then this is going to be a major problem. However, naaseh kedivrei beis hillel. If we follow the opinion of beis hillel, and there's no chiv whatsoever of doing this on the tzara, so naaseh kedivrei beis hillel havlad pogum ledivrei beis shammai. So the vlad is a pogum. Not a mamzer, but we wouldn't be allowed to marry a kohen. So that's a problem. So therefore, it comes along like this and says, "Bo nesakin lehen tzoros shiu chotzos v'lo yis yabnos." So what we're going to do is like this. We're going to make a tekana now on the top of Amud Aleph that we're going to have every tzoros do chalitza and don't do yibum. So in this case, if they do this again, it's not going to work according to everybody, but they're going to be allowed to marry others. And we'll solve the problem according to opinions. Lo hispiku ligmores adover ad she nitrufo asha. So they weren't able to, you know, do Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's compromise until there was a time of trouble came. There was an outbreak of war, and they couldn't get it together to be nimnim begomru and to make this be koveya the halacha like this. So amrle Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So apparently, sometime later, they came back to read. To rediscuss this, so Rabbi Shim ben Gamliel said like this to the Chachamim: Ma nesa lehem letzaros harishonos meato. What's going to do with the earlier tzaros from onward? Because in the meantime, there were some tzaros who did yibum. So if we're going to come along now and make this takana that we do chalitza, we don't do the yibum, so it comes out what? You're going to make them into a mamzer? So it's better not to make such a tekan like this at all. It's going to make more problems for these women. Iamrad bishlema osu. So now we have to work this back. Our whole discussion was whether or not Beis Shammai contained their drushes only in the Beis Medrash, or no? Lamaisa, did they follow what their opinion was? So it's like this. If you're going to tell me that they actually did it, Heinduk Amra Manase. So that's now pshat with what Shimon Gamliel said. What are we going to do? Because these tzaros were already, did the yibum, so you can't go back and change the lemafreya. However, Eli Amrad Lo Asu, but if you can tell me, no, that really Beis Shammai did not follow what they did in practice. It was a shita, okay. So, but it was a hypothetical. It remained within the coastly based medrash, but they didn't actually follow this. So the minas, what it means minas? What are we gonna do like this? If Beis Shammai never really acted upon what they were doing, they never actually allowed a yavam to take a tzara as yibum. So Amr of Nachman bar Yitzchak lo nitzruche el tzara atzma. No. This whole takana that we're talking about was not talking about the kids. It's talking about the tzara, the wife herself. Meaning, if these tzaras married someone else, so according to Beis Shammai, in that case, that's a problem, right? They didn't do chalitza, right? And then the Gemara says, "Uma nase," right? When Shimon Gamliel, he said, "Ma nase hachi kam." This is how you tell him shot. Hanach tzaros to beis Hillel to beis Shammai hechi navi lehu. This is what he was saying. Those tzaros who were according to beis Hillel were entirely exempt. There was nothing they had to do. So then what are we going to do with them according to beis Shammai? Because these tzaros were already married somebody else and they didn't do the chalitza. So then it speaks out. What's the problem over here? Selichaltzu, if you're going to tell them to do chalitza now, meaning they already married this guy, and now do chalitza to somebody else, right? So then, mima'ase la'agabrayhu, they're going to become mius, they're going to become disgusting and repulsive to their own husbands, because for the husband, he's thinking that, you know, this woman I've been living with, now what, she needs to get a, do chalitza for someone else in order to be allowed to marriage? Okay, so no, let's just make them be repulsive. We're not worried about that. No, that's not an option. The halacha doesn't work like that to mess over this couple shalom bias, because everything has to be pleasant, right? It has to be a peaceful thing. I remind us, the Gemara in the third parak in Lulav HaGazel, the third parak of Sukkah discusses, it's discussing. I believe it's the Hadass. They're trying to figure out the identity of it, and there's one Havamina that it's this type of thorny plant. It says it can't be that. It can't be, because they'll be painful, and the Torah couldn't require lekachtem lachem to take something that's going to cut you, that's going to harm you, that's going to do that, because the same pasuk derachei darcheinoam b'chol nesiv v'seh shalom. So anything that's unpleasant, it can't be. So to hear this havamin of having the woman who's married already to have a chalitza, and she becomes it's a mias for her husband, can't be. That's not an option. Okay, now here's a difficult gemara. Tashma, again, we're trying to discuss whether or not the Beis Shammai followed it or not. So it says to Amr Bitarfen, Te'avani Masai Tavu Tzaras Habas Liyadi Ve'Esaena. I have a taiva for the following situation, when my daughter's tzara will come to me and I'll be able to marry her. In other words, it's a hypothetical case. I would follow the opinion of Beis Shammai and take her as a yibum. So, what do you see from here? You see that those opinions of Beis Shammai were actually acted out, paskined upon, right? So the Gemara says, no, Ema va'asiena, no, I'll marry her off. Meaning, no, not that he himself would do it, but he's going to marry her off, and he's going to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, and he's going to marry her off, to somebody else. Now, we know the Rei Tarfon is a Talmud of Beis Shammai, from the Gemara in the beginning in Brachos, when he would lie down to say the Kriya Shema, and they said, you're chayev Misa for what you did. I was going to speak this out right now. It says, V'ha te'avani ka'amar. He says, I have a taiva for this, right? So, meaning, it's a problem. What you want to say is that he's going to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, right? Then what's the chiddush of Rabbi Tarfon over here, right? So what's he saying? It says, no, la'afuki mid Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Really, what Tarfon is coming is to exclude the din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, because he was the one who said this whole compromise, we're going to get all the tzaras, they're going to do the chalitza. Rabbi Tarfon had a taiva for an opportunity to come up to show the halacha does not follow that opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, Tashma. Mase de bito shel Rabbi Gamliel shahaisen nesuya la'aba achiv. So Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was married to Abba, his brother, and he died childless, right? Umeis blobanim v'yaybaim Rabbi Gamliel es tzarasa. So he did this. Rabbi Gamliel did yibum with the tzara. So you see here, this sounds like a slam dunk proof that the tzara of his daughter, the daughter's an erva, but he did marry the tzara, the co-wife of her, right? The tispera, one second. Is this really logical to say all this? Rabbi Gamliel me talmidei de Beis Shammaihu, right? Was really a question? It's a rhetorical question. Was Rabbi Gamliel a Talmud of Beis Shammai? No, he was actually a descendant of Hillel himself. So he certainly followed the shita of of Beis Hillel. So El, this is Pshat. Shiny Bito Shel Rabbi Gamliel, the islandess Havai. No, Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was in a different case because she was an islandess, meaning she was a woman who was unable to have children. And therefore, we learned earlier in the Masechta, in this Perek, that when there's the tzora of an islandess, there's no problem, right? That's what we learned explicitly. V'had mikatani seifa, achim omer bito shurim gam liel islandess haiso. One second, this is that the Seifa says in the Brisa that it was Achirim, others hold that Rim Gamliel's daughter was an islandess. Mechlal, that implies that Tana Kamasabra, a lot of islandess. Haisa, she was not an islandess, right? So how can you tell me that's what the opinion is from the fact you say no, the others say differently, that implies that Tanakhama held she was not an islandess. So she's not an islandess, then her question still is, how in the world could Rabbi Gamliel done Yibum with the Tzara? So where it says like this, really the Machloikis Tanoim is not whether or not she was an islandess. She was. What's the Machloikis? Hikerbo, velo hikerbo, ikabinaihu. Now, the case is, did he know about it? In other words, that's a different discussion. Did he know in advance of the marriage that she was unable to have children? And nevertheless, meaning I know this in Afal Pichain, I'm going to go through with the marriage? Or no, he did not know she was an islandess at the time of the marriage. And therefore, it's a mekachtos, because had he known that you know, she wasn't able to have any kids, he would not wanted to marry her. So hold it, if the husband knew about this before the marriage, then in that case, then that's when the tzara is going to be osir. But if he didn't know she was an islandess, then the tzara is in fact going to be muteris to him. If you want, I can tell you it a different way. Konas l'soif gerish ikabinahu. So a new case where new way of understanding him is that where he married her, but then they divorced her. So according to this second answer, they're arguing about whether or not an erva forbids the tzara if the erva was divorced after her husband married the tzara. And a third possible, the by same, yesh tanai bebia ikabinaihu. So in this case, they're arguing about whether or not bia could be done on condition. If she's an islandess, then the bia shouldn't be a valid kiddushin, right? So the first tana holds Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was married only conditionally, and since the condition was never fulfilled, so then the marriage was, you know, nullified l'mafreya. Comes out Rabbi Gamliel could marry the other wife regardless of his daughter's status of an islandess, because she was never really married to his brother at all. But according to the other Tana, even if the marriage was dependent on this tonight that wasn't fulfilled because he had bia with her, so then that bia itself comes to be mevatel the tanai. So he comes, the only reason Rabbi Gamliel could have yibum with his daughter Tzara was not because of a tanai, but it was because of the fact that his daughter was an islandess. So again, whichever explanation is accepted, we have three different options on the table. Again, number one, the machloikis is whether she knew she was an islandess or not. Number two, the question about whether or not the Arab is going to be usur for forbidding the tzara on him if they were divorced, meaning after the husband married the tzara. The third one is whether it could be on the condition. But you have no raya for this as to whether or not Beis Shammai actually follows their own opinions or not in practice, whether it was, again, merely theoretical. So Beis, Sharshia, he asks the kasha. Again, this cash is going against those that hold the Beis Shammai doesn't follow their own. Maisa b'Rebbe Akiva shelikate esroig be'echad b'shvat v'nohagu bo shnei isurin. So the Maisa was Rebbe Akiva. He took an esrog, he collected an esrog on the first day of Shvat, and he did two maisers with it. In other words, he separated two maisers from this esrog as if it really could be shaykh two different maiser years. He took both a Meiser Sheni, and he also took a Meiser Ani from it, which could not have happened within the same year. So the Gemara speaks it out. Echa Gedivrei Beis Shammai ve'Echa Gedivrei Beis Hillel. So why did he do that? He did one Meiser was in order to be Yotzei the Shita of Beis Shammai, because they hold that the Rosh Chodesh for Ilanos is not Tu B'Shvat, but is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So that would come out that the Esrog would be needing the upcoming year, of a Meiser. Let's think out a second. Meiser Oni. And the other one, the other Meiser that the Rabbi Kiva took was the Vyotzi, the Shita of Beis Hillel. This is who we paskin like, but Tu B'Shvat, the Chamish also B'Shvat. That's the new year. So since he took on Rosh Chodesh, it was not yet the new year. It was really had to be from the previous year, which would be Chayev in Meiser Sheni. What do you see from this? Is the Gemara Shmamino Osu that really Beis Shammai did follow their opinion, because you see Rabbi Rikiva was careful. He was choshesh for the shita of Beis Shammai, and therefore he took two maisers. He didn't just say, you know, oh, it's only theoretical. Gemara says no. Not Raya Rabbi Kiva Gemara the istapikle. Rabbi Kiva had a tradition, but he had a suffix of that as well. Meaning, did Beis Hillel say that the Rosh Hashanah, for the Ilanos is on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Maybe it's on the 15th of Shvat. But comes out, he wasn't holding for Beis Shammai at all. He just wanted to follow Beis Hillel, but he had a suffix as to what Beis Hillel actually held in this case. Now, we know we do follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. There's an interesting Rambam over here in Hilchos Truma, Perek Hey, Halacha Yudalef. The Rambam writes, Ein tormim miperos shana zo al peros shana sha'avra. You can't be mafresh your Truma and Maisra from 1 year on to the previous year. V'lo miperos shana sha'avra al peros shana zo. You can't do it from last year's on to this one. V'im torm ein a Truma. And if you do it's not a good Truma. Shnei Marek Pasuk says in last week's Parsha, Shana, two weeks ago, Shana b'shana. You have to do it. Likate Yarek Erev Rosh Hashanah. So if you had something on Erev Rosh Hashanah before sunset, you took one after one, so you can't take Truma from one on the other, because one is Yoshan, one's the old year, one's the new year. V'chein simli, v'im leikate esrog be'erev Tu B'Shvat. If you took one on Erev Tu B'Shvat, Ad Shlo Bo Hashemesh V'Chaz V'Liket Esrog Acher Mishabo Hashemesh, and you took one now on Tu B'Shvat itself after sunset, Ein Torah Mimizeh Al Zeh. You can't take one from the other. Mipnei She'echa B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Maisros Tavua V'Kitnios V'Yirakos. Because on Rosh Hashanah is the first for the tavua, the grain, the kitnios, I'm not sure. I think legumes, what they translate right, yirakos, vegetables. The Tu B'Shvat, however, is the Rosh Hashanah lemaisros ha'ilon. But Tu B'Shvat is when we take off the maiser on the trees. So that's again, this is what we know, that's the halacha. But again, you see from here that we don't have a raya to the sense of whether or not the Beis Hillel followed their own psakim. Masav Marzutra, Maisa v'yalda kalasa shel shamai hazaken upiches es hamaziva. Okay, there was a story with a daughter-in-law of Shamai Hazaken. She gave birth to a son. Now, according to the opinion of Shammai, so he holds that even a newborn baby is chayiv in the midst of sitting in a sukkah. So therefore, what happened? Right, that he took off this mortar that was covering over the ceiling, and he put schach over the bed of the little baby. Oh, so you see from here that Beis Shammai did follow their opinions. It wasn't just theoretical. When it says Hosam Hara Oimer La Apushe Avir Ka'avid, no, it's not a proof, because any outsider who's watching this whole scene happening and sees, Shammai pulling off the roof, so he said no, he just did because they need more airspace, right? But they need a good circulation of air. People wouldn't necessarily think that he's taking this off because it's a halacha. So therefore, you can't bring a riot from this about. Okay, Mesa Marzutra Maisa Bishoikis Yehu Shahisa Bushalaim Fahisa Nakuva Lamikva. Okay, there was a type of Yehu is a water stream that was going to Yushalaim, and it had a Nakuva, a hole which connected it to the mikveh. Vichol Tahara Shahayab Yushalaim Nasin al gabo, and they used to use all this for the thing. They would, everyone would toivel their kelim in this water spring. V'shalchu beishamai v'herchivua. Beishamai sent messengers. They had to make it a little bit wider, the opening. Because according to the Beishamai Omrim ad shetipaches beruba, that it has to be, the majority of it has to be open in order to create a connection between the two bodies of water. Tanan eru mikvos kishvos hanod, the base hillel holds that all you need, we did this in the end of Chagiga, if you remember, that you just need a shveres hanod. We said the poskim hold that maybe 2-3 inches. Simon held, from particularly posted with Klein, that it's 4 inches. But okay, shveres hanod, 2 fingers breadth. But ovia, and that's the width of it, right? The chalala k'shtei etzbaos choizros l'makomam. You have to have 2 fingers that you can move around on all sides. That's how big the space have to be. And once you have a size that large enough, that's considered to be a chibur, and you do a hashaka between the mikvaos. That works. So, but you see from this the fact that Beis Shammai said no, it has to be rov shma mino also, that they actually did what they said, they practiced what they preached, they paskin this way lemaisa. So where it says no, not a good raya hosam within the Amid Beis hara oime la fushe maya hudaka avid. No, the only reason why they did it was just to get more water to flow. But there wasn't necessarily a raya that they were going through this. Okay, so now we're still trying to get an answer to find out whether or not Beis Shammai follows their halachos. Tashma. Okay, another case. The Amr of Elazar bar Tzadok. Kishayisi loymei Torah eitzel Rabbi Yochanan haChorani. When I would learn Rabbi Yochanan haChorani. Ra'isi shehaya ochel pas chareva b'melech b'shtei b'tzoros. He used to eat this dry bread with salt during years of drought. Ba'asi v'otati es abba. I went and told my father, like, look what he's eating. It's not having so much. So Amrali, he said to me, holech lo zeisim. Go bring him some olives. V'holachti lo, and I brought them to him. Raw osan shehein lachin, and he saw that they were moist with liquid that oozes out from the olives, so that liquid makes them able to become tamei. We know that there are the yad shach adam that let's just speak out that you have to have. They have to come moist with one of these liquids, and also has to be wanted it to be there. If it became, you know, moist with one of these seven mashkin, but you didn't want it, the owner didn't want it to be get that, then that's not going to be a problem. But once it does, then it becomes royal of Kabbal Tumah. So Amr Li, he said, "Ain ani oichel zaysin. I don't eat olives, right?" He was very polite. He kind of like, you know, circumvented this. He didn't want to embarrass them by saying that maybe I think they really could become tamei, which is a very important Moser Haskel. A person has a chashash or something, chumras. It's okay to keep them, obviously, but to be sensitive to others, not to offend the person who's offering you the food. You can find a way to get around it. So Bosi Bahodati es Abba. So Beloz Ben Tzadok says, I went and told my father. Amrli, so he said to me, Leich ve'emrlo, I want you to go back and tell him, Chavis Nekuva Haisa. The barrel that was carrying these olives had a hole in it. Ella Shisasamuha Shemarim. But there, it was clogged by these like sediments in the oil, and therefore some of it, some of this moisture remained inside. But there was a hole there, so but since there was a hole, then these zaysim, these olives were not going to be, they won't be mekabel tuma. Utanan, chobis shel zaysim megulgalim. If you have a barrel of olives, you're preserving them. Beishame omrim ein tzricha linakev. Beishame holds it doesn't have to have a hole in it because the juice that's going to be flowing from it isn't going to make it tummy. Well, Beis Hillel omrim tzricha linakev. Beis Hillel says no, it does have to have a hole in it because they hold that this juice that's flowing out of the The zaysim is considered to be shemen, right? Yad shachat dam, the shin in those Rosh Yateva stands for shemen, and therefore that's going to make these oil mekabel tuma. Umoidim she'im nikvah v'sasumua shemarim, but they both agree, the Beis Hillel was masking to the opinion of these Shammai, that if the barrel was you know, you made perforations in it, you made like holes in it, and then you closed it up by because of these the sediments there, shitahar, then it's pure. Aye, there's still some sort of shemen, there's still some of moisture on the olives, and again, the only thing happens if it's done intentionally, but the hole in the barrel shows that he did not want the shemen, did not want the juice, the moisture, the liquid to be there. By putting a hole in the barrel, he goes it clear. It's obvious that he doesn't want them, and therefore, even if it did become clogged up through the sediment, it doesn't matter. It's not going to become, because again, we point out that the seven liquids have to be there with the yurotzon. And even though Rabbi Yochanan Chorni was a talmid of Shammai, komasav lo osu el kedivrei Beis Hillel. In actions, he only followed the statements of Beis Hillel. Right, so e amr bishlema also. So good if you can tell me that Beis Shammai actually acted according to their opinions. It's an hein revusa. So that's the greatness. Meaning you're saying he was such a good, such a shvach that he followed the Beis Hillel. Eli e amr lo asu. But if you can say Beis Shammai doesn't follow their own psakim, so then my revusa. What's the unique? What's the greatness of Yochanan? You know, so you see that you could learn out from here that Beis Shammai in generally does follow their opinions. Okay, Tashma, Shalu es Rabbi Yoshua. They asked the question for Rabbi Yoshua. Tsaras habas mahu. What's the halacha regarding the co-wife of a person's daughter? Which that would mean. That what? The your daughter married your brother, which we know is allowed. And in certain circles, it's quite common that the girl marries her uncle. So then she passed away. So now the daughter, obviously, is an heir to her father. But what about the tzara? So what's the halach in this case? So Amar lehem, machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. This is the machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. The halachic tibrei ma, me. So, but who are we paskin like? So Amar lehem, ipnei ma atem machnisin roshi ben shnei harim gedolim. What are you putting my head in between these two big mountains, right? You want me to get involved in this? Ben shnei machloikas gedolos. These two big arguments over here. Ben Beis Shammai, ben Beis Hillel. Mis yare ani shem yerotsu gugalti. Maybe they're gonna, you know, these two big mountains are gonna break my head. Right, so I don't want to get involved in this whole thing. Avav, but ani mei lechem. I'm going to give you edus. I'm going to testify the following fact to you. Ani mei lechem al shtei mishpachos gedolos shahaya b'Yerushalayim. About two great families in Yerushalayim. Mishpachas Beis Tzvoim mi ben Achmoy. There was a family of the Tzvoim came from Ben Achmoy. Umishpachas Beis Kofoy mi ben Mekoshesh. Right. There was the Beis Kofai family from Ben Mekoshesh, Shehem B'nei Tsaros, Umehem Kohanim Gedolim. They were descendants of Tsaros who married each other, meaning like they followed the opinion of Beis Hillel, right? And came out from them Kohanim Gedolim. V'shimshu al gabehem Mizbeach, and they served on the Mizbeach. So therefore, I'm giving edus that this was, in fact, the accepted halacha throughout all the generations. Okay, meaning I don't want to get involved, I'm just telling you this is what these families did. So good. If you can tell me Beis Shammai would follow their own opinions, that's what he meant. That's when I'm afraid. Because if I make a psak, then certain kids are gonna become mamzerim, right? And then the descendants of that family would be upset with me. But if you can tell me that they didn't ask, actually, Beis Shammai didn't actually follow what they were opinions, then why would Rabbi Yoshua say that I'm afraid? What are you afraid of, right? Right? Even if Beis Shammai did do there, right? So, my misyareni, what am I afraid for? Ha'omer Rabbi Yoshua, ein mamzer el mechaya be misos beizdin. Rabbi Yeshua said that a mamzer is only Chai, this week's Parsha, right? You have the Rashi HaKodesh. I think it's in Shlishi. This week's Parsha discusses, that he brings the Smichas Parsha. So you see that a Mamzer is something that's Chai Veimis is based in. Nehi Nami the Mamzer Lohave, Pogum Mihu Have. Right? Okay, so it's not going to be, it's not going to be a mamzer, but they're going to be pogum. So they're not going to be, what does that mean to be pogum? It means they can't marry a kohen. So where it says, Mikal v'choymer me almana. We learn this out from a kal v'choymer by an almana, by a widow. Ma almana she'eni surah nohig bekol. Nevertheless, by an almana who's not necessarily also to marry. She's only also married a Kohen Gadol, right? But not Pogum, but her son is still going to be Pogum, is a flawed or blemished. So Zu She Isura Shava Bechol, this one, this Tzara, who's also to everybody, right? So even to a regular Yisrael. So this is what the Gemara is explaining. This is why he had something to be afraid of. This is what Rabbi Yeshua was afraid of. Again, just the Kal V'chomer is like this. If an almana would marry the Kohen Gadol, even though the Isra is not Shava B'kol, so the kid's still a pogum, the Tzaras Erba is Shava B'kol. So then, Kavachomer, how much more so? The kid's going to be a pogum, and then these people will be upset. They'd be very upset with Rabbi Yeshua. Okay. So, it wasn't asked. Rabbi Yeshua was asked about Tzaras Erba, right? So, why did he answer about the kids? That's what I was going to say now. Kavu minei Tzaras kavapashit lei b'nei Tzaras. They asked about the Tzaras, but he's talking about the kids. No, really, they're explaining that they asked him two questions. What is it? Tzaros. Is that right? Yes. Tzaros mai, right? What's the din by the Tzara? The intim salomer Tzaros ke Beis Hillel. And if you're going to say that the halacha follows the opinion of Beis Hillel, and they don't have to, so b'nei Tzaros to Beis Hillel l'vei Shammai mahu. What's the halacha according to Beis Shammai about the children of these Tzaros who follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, and they married others without doing a chalitza? So my nafkamina, what's the nafkamina? What difference does it make? Rabbi Yeshua holds that the halacha follows Beis Hillel, so why are we even discussing what Beis Shammai, holds in this thing? So it says, "Lemifshat vlad machzir grushos lebeis Hillel." The case is to really got to figure out about a different thing. We have to answer a kid who was born after a man was machzir grushos. So he took back he remarried his divorced wife. Right, so according to Beis Hillel, is this kid remarried she remarried her first husband, but she got married to somebody else in between, meaning she was married to Reuven, got divorced, so then she married Shimon, then Shimon's along in the picture, she got divorced from him, now she goes back and married Reuven, but she had a kid, so is that kid going to be Pogum, right, or not? So Mika Amrinan, Kal V'chomer, do we say the Kal V'chomer? Ma amana the Kohen Gadol she'ini sur shav v'kol bona pogum zushi sur shav v'kol ain't a din she'bena pogum. So we can make the Kal V'chomer and say like this, that if the amana, the widow, marries the Kohen Gadol, right? And again, it's not shav v'kol, but the kid's a pogum. So then, how much more so the machzir grushoso is pogum, because that is an issur that is shav v'kol, right? Odilma, no, one second, maybe not. Maybe you could slug this up and say it's not a good Kal V'chomer. Mala amana shehi atzma mischaleles. Maybe it's different. Maybe the almana case is different because she herself is not allowed to marry a kohen. Meaning, like, the kohen gadol would have relations with her, but then she's not allowed to marry any kohen, even a kohen head yet, right? Whereas a remarried grusha, right? She's not necessarily, not allowed to do that. So Amalahu, so they answered back, Tzaros misyare ani, right? B'nei Tzaros ani mei lochem. Okay, so this is what Rabbi Yeshua is saying about that. He's saying these B'nei Tzaros, that they were Kohanim Gedolim, right? So I'm telling you, this is my edus to you. They're not disqualified because I said that they already served as Kohanim. Kohen Gadolim on the Mizbeach. Okay, that brings us to the top of Tes Zayin. And again, tonight's shiur was learning in memory of Suri Granik. Chava Fruma Bas Harav Chaim Yitzchak Aleh Shalom.